We'll now have a scripture reading. Our scripture reading today is from the book of Job, chapter 14, verses 7 through 14. For there is hope for a tree when it is cut down that it will sprout again, and its shoots will not fail. Though its roots grow old in the ground and its stump dies in the dry soil, at the scent of water it will flourish and put forth sprigs like a plant. But a man dies and lies prostrate, man expires, and where he is. As water evaporates from the sea, and a river becomes parched and dried up, so man lies down and does not rise. Until the heavens are no more, he will not awake nor be aroused out of his sleep. Oh, that you would hide me in Sheol, that you would conceal me until your wrath returns to you, that you would set a limit for me and remember me. For if a man dies, he will live again. All the days of my struggle I will wait until my change comes.
Good morning. It's good to see those of us that are out. We're still minus a few people this morning. It's good to see all of you. Before I actually begin what's prepared for today, thinking about what to do after this, and the other day I was cleaning in my office and I found my binders from years ago. It used to be on when we had Sunday night services that I, one Sunday a month, did question night, and if people wrote out a question that they may have been thinking about, I answered it, and it was very popular. So I don't know about whether it would be or not, but so here's what I'm saying. I'm willing, when I finish this, which is only one or two more lessons than this, and then I'm going to move on to something else, maybe do several weeks of questions. But in order to do that, I have to have questions. So if there's something that you want me to address like that, if you'll write it out and give it to me, then if I have enough of those to make a two or three time series, I'll do some questions before I go into another series. So currently we're looking at questions that are raised in Job, either by Job or one of his friends in their speeches, that we have to find biblical answers for those questions. The section in Job that Andy was reading from, chapters 12 through 14, is Job's third response to his friends, as his friends say something, then Job answers them. And here in the 14th chapter, Job raises one of the, I guess you would call it, great questions about man and his existence. And he actually asks it in two different ways. In verse 10, he says, man expires, and where is he? Man expires, where is he? In verse 14, he says, if a man dies, will he live again? And as we look at Job raising these questions, we must remind ourselves again, as we have throughout this series, that Job is dealing with these things before the rest of Scripture has been written. He lived in the patriarchal age. And so he's pondering things to which at his time there probably wasn't a written scripture that he could just go to and get the answer. So we want to look at that question, and we want to look at it in two ways. First, we're going to look at the Old Testament scripture. And then secondly, we're going to look at what it says to us in the New Testament. So as we look at the Old Testament, the first thing maybe that we should say is that the Old Testament does not provide a lot of information in terms of answering these questions by Job. That man had some idea of what was going to happen. is evident even in Job's question. If you notice verse 14, he says, I'm going to wonder about that all the days of my struggle. I wait until my change comes. And so they anticipated that something was going to happen, but not necessarily a great understanding of it. Now, there's a real logical explanation for that as to why the Old Testament doesn't say a lot about that. And that is that that wasn't the purpose of the Old Testament anyway. Primarily, the main purpose and subject of the Old Testament was God's plan of redemption and Israel's role in that plan. And so the focus of the Old Testament is on the fact that through Israel, God was going to provide a Messiah, and that in that Messiah were all the blessings that man needed. And so the focus of the Old Testament is primarily on that line of thinking. Therefore, the definitive answer to Job's question is not going to be found until you get to the teachings of Jesus. And then Jesus will clarify and give answer to Job's question. But that being said, it does not mean that the Old Testament is totally silent on this question. First of all, there is evidence in the Old Testament that men understood that there was a life after physical death. There are a couple of instances of that in the book of Samuel and Kings. The first is a really interesting story in 1 Samuel 28, verses 11 through 19. And that's the story of after Samuel the prophet has died, Saul is concerned about things. God's spirit has left him. He has been reprimanded by Samuel during Samuel's life. And he goes to visit a witch that lives in the town of Endor, somebody that claimed to be able to communicate with dead spirits, and tells her he wants to talk to Samuel. And verse 12 says that Samuel actually appeared, and the most shocked person in the room was the witch, because she knew she didn't really do those things. She deceived people to get the money from them. But this is really Samuel. Verse 14 in this text tells us that she was able to describe his form and appearance. She recognized that the one that had appeared to her was Samuel. Now, Samuel was a famous person in Israel. So that would be the same type of thing that if some famous person walked in to our presence today, we would recognize them from television or whatever the situation might be. Well, Samuel traveled throughout all of Israel, and the people of Israel knew who he was. And she recognized that that was truly him. And verse 15 of 1 Samuel 28 says that Samuel actually spoke to Saul and tells him basically nothing new, that he had been judged and that God was going to require his death and the kingdom was going to be turned over to David. This type of event is unique. It only really occurs one other time in Scripture, and that is in the New Testament, at the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus is transfigured, but Peter, James, and John also see Moses and Elijah and recognize that that is them. So that is one indication that they understood that there is life after death of some sort. The second one is David's statement that's found in 2 Samuel chapter 12 in verse 23, where after the sin he had committed with Bathsheba, one of the things that God said was going to happen is that that child would die. And perhaps you remember that story, how the child became sick and David fasted for a week praying that God would spare him. But then the child dies, and so David, at that point, cleans himself up and takes food and goes to the temple to worship. And when his servants questioned him about that, in 2 Samuel 12 and verse 23, David says, "He has died. Why should I fast?" Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me. So David indicated that he had an anticipation that where the son was, he would also be. And so there's those two incidents. But probably the most definitive thing in all of the Old Testament is at the end of Ecclesiastes, where Solomon spent that whole book talking about the meaning of life and how man should live his life under the sun. And he says in verse 6 of chapter 12, we need to remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed and the pitcher by the well is shattered and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Very figurative descriptions of the end of life, of death. And he says, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. And Solomon says, when man dies, his physical body deteriorates back into the earth, but the spirit of man goes back to God from whence it came. Now, those are not in any real detail and doesn't really give perhaps Job an answer to the question that he might have. But when we come to the New Testament, what we find is that the New Testament does provide a much more definitive answer to the question about where does man go, about if he dies, will he live again? The first thing that I would point to is that the New Testament has two important affirmations of what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12, that when man dies, his spirit returns to God. First of all, there's Jesus himself. In Luke 23:46, as he's dying on the cross, he cries out with a loud voice and says, Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. And then he died. He breathed his last. So he recognized that his spirit, in leaving his body, was going to be committed to the Father. And the second one is in the stoning of Stephen, a very similar thing in Acts 7 and verse 59, when as the people that were so upset by Stephen's proclamation of the gospel are stoning him, and Stephen is about to die, we are told he looks into heaven and sees Jesus. And he says in Acts 7:59, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So there are two definitive statements that affirms what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, that upon death the spirit returns back to God. Then there is the teaching of Jesus himself. Probably the most famous one that we often discuss, and about the only time we discuss it is in relationship to the question of whether you need to be baptized in order to be saved. Because anybody that doesn't believe that, the people of most Protestant believers don't believe that baptism has anything to do with their salvation. And so in any discussion about that, this comes up. I've been studying a couple times with a guy I play golf with. He's a very religious fella. When the subject of baptism came up, guess what the first thing he said was? The thief on the cross. So that's the discussion in which we often get into concerning the thief. But that's not the important thing, particularly concerning our study this morning, because in Luke 23 and verse 42 and 43, what Jesus says is definite. The thief asked him to remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. And Jesus knew he was dying, but he also knew the thief was dying that day. And the reason why he knew that is that it was the day before the Passover, and they would not allow someone to live until sunset because nobody could touch the body. They would be unclean if they couldn't cleanse themselves ceremonially before the sunset. And then they wouldn't be able to observe the Passover. So even the Romans gave leeway to the Jews on that, and that's the story of them coming and breaking the legs. That was to make sure they would die before the sun set so that the bodies could be removed and buried. And so he says, you're going to die today. I'm going to die today, but you will be with me in paradise. Jesus is teaching concerning the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. And I'm not reading these passages because of who's in the audience this morning, and for the sake of time, that's a long passage, but you know that story, that the rich man dies and is in torment, Lazarus dies and he's in Abraham's bosom, and there's this discussion where the rich man asks Jesus to send Lazarus with just a little bit of water to quench his thirst, and so forth. Some people want to say this is a parable. I personally do not believe that it is, because it doesn't have some of the characteristics of a parable. I think Jesus is telling a story, and that it is probably based upon fact. I will concede that even if it is a parable, that's okay, because parables are always based upon truth. They're always based upon what is commonly recognized truth, and if it's a parable, then that's saying that Jesus says that there is an afterlife, that that's the true condition of men when they die, and he uses this as an example. For what we're talking about this morning, what is clear is that in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, Jesus is teaching that when a man dies, his spirit lives. And he also is teaching that judgment occurs. And that judgment is based upon God's decision concerning the life of the individuals, and that there is both punishment and reward. Now, that's a whole discussion in itself that's not really related to Job's question, so that's all the further I'm going to go with that in this lesson. But the point of it is what Jesus is saying there is that when a man dies, his soul lives on, and his soul goes to the presence of God, and God has control over that soul. And so, does man live? The answer is yes. And then there are the teachings of the apostles based upon what they have learned from Jesus, what the Spirit teaches them. There's Paul's statement about his own condition that's found in the book of Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 24. For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I'm to live on in the flesh, that will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ. For that is much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. So he says, if I die, I am going to be with Christ. So that answers the question, where is he? When man dies, he goes to be with the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 10, and again, I'm about out of time, that's a very familiar passage talking about the way our body wears out, but that when our body wears out, we have more life from the Lord. And so he says in verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say. Prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. And so he says, when you're absent from the body in death, you are at home with the Lord. Then there is Paul's words of comfort to the Thessalonians about when the Lord comes back, that he's actually answering the question, well, what about those Christians who have died? We don't want you to be uninformed, brethren. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, that you grieve as the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there's the answer to the question, will man live again? Even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, that by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And so even those who have previously died in Christ, it says, before those who are alive are caught up to be with the Lord, they will be raised from the dead. So yes, they will live again. Those who have died, their souls are already with the Lord. And then the last passage, and we're out of time, is Revelation 6, 9, and 10. And it's basically the breaking of the fifth seal. And what is seen there is the souls of those who have lost their life as faithful Christians. The souls are beneath the altar in the presence of God. So man, when he dies, goes into the presence of God. So the conclusion to Job's questions are, yes, the dead live. Where are they? They are with God. And they will live again. They will be, their bodies will be resurrected, and they will be raised to live again. And so those are the answers that are provided for us to Job's questions. So Brother Bragg has the prayer, and then we'll move on to our Bible class at this time.